Chapter 11, Shining. We stood in front of the cave. Snakes hung down in front of it like a curtain. Well, they would have been like a curtain if they hadn't kept hissing. "This is not good," said Irk. "Snakes like to eat toads." "Leave this one to me," said Fireball. He flew off my shoulder and landed in front of the cave. I thought he might be going to blast the snakes with flames. I wasn't sure that was a good idea. It would get rid of the snakes, but it might make the old lady really mad. But I was wrong. What came out of his mouth wasn't fire. It was a lot of hissing sounds. The snakes twisted and squirmed. Then they pulled sideways to make an opening. "Distant cousins," said Fireball when he flew back to me. "You just have to know how to talk to them. Hurry up before they forget what I asked them to do. They're not very bright." Clutching our green torches, we hurried into the cave. The first part was like a hallway made of stone. After about 10 feet, it opened into a big room. In the center of the room was a fire. A big black kettle hung over the fire, bubbling and steaming. Sitting beside the fire, rocking in a chair, was a beautiful woman. I was so surprised that I forgot Moongobble was supposed to do the talking. "Who are you?" I asked. "Who do you want me to be?" she replied, in a voice as beautiful as her face. "We were looking for the old woman," I said. "I can be an old woman," she answered. Before I could even blink, the beautiful young woman was gone. In her place sat an old hag. "How's that?" she asked in a creaky voice. "Better." "This is very weird," whispered Fireball. His breath was warm against my ear. "You're a very strange group," said the old woman, tugging at her chin. "A magician, a knight, a toad, a dragon, a boy, and... ah, the man who had no bread for me. I wondered when you would show up here. Have you brought me some bread at last?" The woman reminded me of Peter and Thomas. She was being mean just for the sake of being mean. "He has no bread," I said angrily, "and you were mean to punish him when he didn't have it before. You've got no reason to act like that." The old woman looked at me in astonishment. At the same moment, the werewolf man cried out, "I feel strange." "So," whispered the old woman, "it's happened at last. The sun shines in the forest of night." "What are you talking about?" I asked. The old woman didn't answer. Instead, she vanished and her fire with her. Our torches went out, too. That should have left us in complete darkness, but it didn't. The cave was still lit by a soft glow, only I couldn't figure out where it was coming from. "Edward," said Moongobble, sounding astonished, you're shining." "I am?" I said, putting my hands to my face. "Edward," asked the werewolf man, "is your name really Edward?" "Of course," I said, feeling confused and a little afraid. The man put out his arms. "Edward of Pigbone," he cried, "I am your father." Chapter 12. No Tears, No Magic. By the time we left the cave, I had stopped glowing, which was sort of a relief. It was Irk who explained it all. "You didn't quite understand the curse," he told my father. "You didn't need the sun to shine in the forest of night to be cured. You needed your own sun to shine, which Edward did by standing up to the old woman. It was a shining deed, and it broke the spell." My own father was standing with his arm around me. It felt good, but it also felt strange. I was not used to having a father. "You were only a baby when I left," he kept saying. "Only a baby." "Come on," said Irk after a little while. "You can talk it over later. We should get out of this forest before something else happens." But something else did happen. We had barely left the forest of night when a man came stumbling toward us. His face was as sad as my father's and had been when he was the weeping werewolf. "What's wrong?" Moongobble asked as the man drew near. The man burst into tears. "Sheesh," muttered Irk. "They ought to change the name of this place from the Forest of Night to the Forest of Weeping and Wailing." "It's my daughter," sobbed the man. "My daughter has been turned to stone by an evil spell." "Perhaps I can help," said Moongobble, pushing up his sleeves. "I am a magician." "There's only one way to save her," said the man, wiping at his tears. "That's why I'm heading..." He gulped and pointed toward the forest. "That's why I'm heading there. The only way to free my daughter from her curse is to pour a bottle of tears from the weeping werewolf over her head. Then she will turn back into a real girl." He stared at the forest in horror. I may not live through it, but I have to get those tears. Who cast this spell? Asked Urk. The old woman of the woods, said the man, wiping at his tears. Just as I suspected, Urk muttered. She is angry because we broke the other spell, and this is her way of getting back at us. I got a sinking feeling in the pit of my stomach. I knew what Moongobble would do, and he did it. Reaching into his robe, he pulled out the bottle of tears. There is no weeping werewolf anymore, he said sadly, but I have a bottle of his tears. Here it is. They should bring your daughter back to life. How can I ever thank you? Cried the man, clasping the bottle in astonishment. How can I possibly repay you? Be a good father, said Moongobble, his voice soft and sad. The man raced off, shouting with happiness. Well, that's done it, grumbled Urk. Now you'll never be a magician. Would you have wanted me to do anything different? Asked Moongobble. Of course not, said the toad gruffly. You did the right thing. It's just very annoying. I could try to cry some more if that would help, said Father. Won't make any difference now that you're human again, said Urk gruffly. We were quiet as we walked back to the cottage. I wondered if Fozwad would really make Moongobble stop doing magic, even though he had given up the tears to do a good deed. It just didn't seem right. On the other hand, Fozwad seemed to care more about rules than he did about right and wrong. And even I knew that Moongobble wasn't a very good magician, but somehow he always managed to do good even while he was messing up. Mother claims it is because he has such a good heart. Shouldn't that count for something? No one said much as we reached the garden behind the cottage. We were all worried about Moongobble and trying to think of what to say when Fozwad showed up. Only I was having a hard time thinking about that because I was also excited and confused about having found my father. I was a little shy about it, too. What was he like? What would it be like to have him home with us again? What would Mother think? Excuse me, said Urk. I need to check something inside. He hopped through the cottage door looking like a bran muffin on springs. The rest of us stayed outside. I'm nervous about going home, said Father, looking down the hill. I've been gone for so long. What will your mother say when she sees me? Before I could answer, we heard a snap. An instant later, Fozwad appeared, surrounded by his usual cloud of blue smoke. Well, Moongobble, he said, smiling in a sickening way, do you have those tears? Moongobble spread his hands. I had them, he said sadly, but they're gone. Fozwad laughed. Do you expect me to believe that? I had them, but they're gone. Really, Moongobble, if you're going to invent an excuse, you should do better than that. Ah, well, it doesn't make a difference. You failed the test and it's all over. You can stop trying to be a magician now and leave the rest of us alone. He held out his hand. You might as well give me your wand and be done with it. Shoulders drooping, Moongobble stepped forward. He reached into his robe for the wand. Wait, said Father. It's my fault he doesn't have the tears. It doesn't make any difference whose fault it is, snapped Fozwad. Moongobble is finished. Not so fast, Fozwad, said a voice from the cottage door. This isn't over yet.